This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, last Sunday's sermon was based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is known by many as the love chapter, because in that chapter, Paul teaches us that love is the greatest thing. And the reason love is the greatest thing is because ultimately it was God's love for us sinners that moved him to sacrifice his only son for us that we might be forgiven and live forever in his love. Just think of it. Because of God's love for you, your sins are forgiven and you have the hope of eternal life with the God who made you and saved you and loves you. That love of God for us sinners, it changes us. It moves us to show love for others by meeting their physical and emotional and especially their spiritual needs. So with that understood, in today's reading from the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul applies the principle of love, which he talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, and he applies it to the issue of spiritual gifts and how God's love moves us to use the spiritual gifts that he's given us for the benefit of others. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when I was preaching on that, we learned that God gives different gifts to different people. We don't all have the same gifts, and all these gifts, whatever we may have, are to serve other believers. However, in today's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talks about only two spiritual gifts, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. I'm going to start out by talking about the gift of tongues. If you recall my sermons on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I explained that the gift of tongues was simply the miraculous ability that God gave to some people to speak his word in a language that they had never studied for the purpose of sharing the gospel of Christ with others who spoke that language. Now, please understand, God did not give this gift to everybody. Also, according to our knowledge of church history, the gift of tongues appears to have become almost non-existent about a century or so after the generation of the apostles. Now, one reason for this may be that later on, more and more people of that time spoke either Greek or Latin, and so there was not a need for the miraculous gift of tongues in order to do evangelism. But even when missionaries would go to a land where the people would speak a different language, even then, God did not always miraculously give them the gift of tongues. Even in the first century, when the gift of tongues was more common, there were times when Christians would go to a new place where people spoke a different language, but God didn't miraculously give them the ability to speak that language. Instead, they had to learn the language in the ordinary way, by studying the language over time and gradually acquiring a knowledge of it. That's the way it works for our missionaries today. If they go to a foreign land, God does not necessarily give them miraculously the ability to speak that language. Instead, they have to study it and learn it over time. For instance, one of the Missouri Synod missionaries we're supporting, Reverend David Warner, is now doing mission work in Spain. But God did not just one day zap him and give him the miraculous ability to speak Spanish fluently. No, he had to study it over time and gradually acquire knowledge of it. That's how it works most of the time. Now, having said that, in the first generation of the early church, the gift of tongues was more common. Unfortunately, though, not everyone who had been given this gift used it in a loving way. Simply put, let's look at the case with Corinth. In the Corinthian congregation, Rather than using the gift of tongues to speak in a language they had not studied for the purpose of witnessing to people who understood that language, what were some Christians doing? Instead, they were coming to a church service like this, and they were speaking foreign languages out loud during the Christian worship service. Why? For the purpose of showing off and giving the appearance that they were somehow more spiritual than those who didn't have that gift. Well, sadly, most of the people gathered for worship in Corinth didn't understand the foreign language that were being spoken by those who had the gift of tongues. And so what was the result? The result was that most of the people did not benefit from what was being said by those who could speak in tongues because most of the people didn't understand those languages. So in a nutshell, some people in Corinth were flaunting their gift of tongues during worship to show off and draw attention to themselves. And as a result, in today's reading, Paul rebukes them. He rebukes them for acting selfishly rather than acting in love. And so he writes, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." Now, you might wonder what prophecy is in distinction from tongues. Well, I'll tell you. When Paul talks about the gift of prophecy, in this context, he's referring to the act of speaking God's word in a language that people can understand so that they will know the truth of God's word and so that the Spirit will work through that truth to lead people to repentance and faith in Christ and to give them knowledge for how they are to live as God's forgiven people. Obviously, if the word of God is spoken to people in a foreign language they don't understand, well, they can't benefit from it, can they? So Paul sums up his point with these words. Let me read this part of it again. "Excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying?" Now, Paul makes two very important points here. Here's the first one. Our Christian faith is not merely an emotional experience. It is also about knowing and understanding and believing various teachings that God has given us in Holy Scripture. In other words, we do not come to church to be entertained or to merely have an emotional experience. Instead, we come to church to hear God's word so that we can meditate upon God's teachings and then apply those teachings to our lives. Remember what Paul said to a young pastor named Timothy in our second reading? Listen to this. "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you," referring to Timothy's ordination. "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Here we see that Paul wants pastors to do what? He wants us to bless you. He wants us to bless you who gather for worship by preaching and teaching God's word carefully so that you may understand and believe the doctrines of Scripture that lead to your salvation. Now, please understand, this does not mean that you can't have an emotional experience during worship. In fact, many Christians have an emotional experience of remorse and conviction when they hear about their sins. I know I do. In the same way, many Christians have an emotional experience of joy and relief and peace when they hear that through Jesus their sins are completely forgiven. I know the gospel does that for me. In addition, many Christians have an emotional experience when they pray a certain prayer or when they sing a certain hymn that speaks of God's promises and His loving will for our lives. So there's nothing wrong with emotions. Paul's point, though, is that when you separate emotions from the knowledge of God's Word and make emotions an end in themselves, as though the only point to worship is to get an emotional high, then you're missing the whole point of worship. Paul's point is that any emotion we experience during worship should be the result of hearing and understanding God's Word and how it applies to our lives. That's why Paul says this. He says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. That leads to the second point Paul makes. Paul makes the point that prayers and hymns and preaching and teaching should be done in a language that the people understand so that they can benefit from it. That's exactly why Paul was rebuking those in Corinth who spoke tongues but did not offer an interpretation, because the rest of the people weren't getting anything out of it. That's why Paul says, in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct people than 10,000 words in a tongue that they don't understand, obviously. Paul then drives this point home by quoting from the book of Isaiah, our Old Testament reading for today. Now, you might wonder what in the world that reading is talking about. I'll explain it to you. That reading from Isaiah was talking about a time in Old Testament history when God's people were hearing His Word in a language they could understand. The prophets were preaching to them in Hebrew and they understood it. But what was their response? They rejected the clear preaching and teaching of God's Word that they understood. Oh, they understood what the prophets were saying. They just didn't like it. They wanted the prophets to say to them what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear about their sins. They didn't want to hear about the one true God and Him being the only Savior. No, they wanted the prophets to affirm the life they chose to live. Well, God was patient with them, but after their constant rebellion, His patience finally ran out. So, what eventually happens? In order to discipline them and bring them to repentance, God sends the foreign armies of Babylon against them. Now, these foreign armies spoke a foreign language that the people of Israel could not understand. In fact, the language of the Babylonians sounded like gibberish to the people of Israel. That's why Isaiah wrote these words. He said, "So then, the word of the Lord to them will become do and do and do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule, a little here, a little there." You might be wondering, what in the world is that? Well, this is an English translation of random Hebrew words that are meant to convey meaningless nonsense. It would be like me getting up in the pulpit and giving a sermon but saying nothing more than blah-dy, 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 blah. What's Paul's point? His point is that those who speak in tongues but give no interpretation are benefiting their fellow believers about as much as the foreign Babylonians benefited the Israelites. In other words, you're showing no love for your fellow believer if you speak in tongues and refuse to interpret what you're saying. On top of that, Paul also brings up the point of how they can do mission work in Corinth if they're so focused on speaking in tongues and not interpreting them. In other words, how can you be a witness to unbelievers if you're speaking in a language they don't understand? Paul then gives the hypothetical example of an unbeliever showing up at a service where everybody was speaking in tongues that no one could understand. Paul says, what's his response going to be? His response is going to be, these guys are nuts. I'm leaving. But then, Paul says, what if an unbeliever attended a service like this, where God's Word is being carefully taught through prayers and hymns and preaching and teaching, all in a language the unbeliever can understand? Paul says there's a chance the Holy Spirit will convict him or her of sin and lead him or her to faith in Jesus for salvation. Now, having said all of that, how does what Paul says to them back then apply to us here and now today? Well, in two ways, as I see it. First of all, we're all guilty of being selfish and self-centered, aren't we? Even at church. We're guilty of caring about ourselves and ignoring the needs of others. I know I am. And my friends, this is not the way of love. And so we need to acknowledge this sin in our lives, but then know that we are forgiven. Why? Because of Jesus' selfless sacrifice on the cross, where He died in our place of damnation that we might be forgiven and live forever in God's love. And my friends, this wonderful gospel of God's love and mercy in Christ, it transforms us. It gives us the desire and the strength to live a life of love. And that means showing concern for the physical, emotional, and especially the spiritual needs of others. Now there's a second way all this applies to us, and that is this. The focus of our services should be prayers and hymns and preaching and teaching, all that carefully proclaim the truths of God's Word in a language that everyone can understand, so that the Holy Spirit can work repentance and faith and godly wisdom in our hearts. In fact, that's exactly why Martin Luther was so upset about how things were done in Germany in his day. You see, before Luther changed things, all the services in Germany were done in Latin. And most of the people in Germany didn't understand Latin any more than most of us do. Well, imagine coming to a service where from beginning to end, it was all in Latin. Would you learn much? Would you understand anything? Most of us wouldn't, I'm guessing. It was the same for the people back then in Luther's day. They spoke German, not Latin. So one of Luther's reforms was to lead the service in a language that people could understand. And boy, what a difference that made. Well, what about services in our churches today? Well, even though the services of our nation's churches are done in languages that people can understand, the devil tempts us in another way. He tempts us to be like the Old Testament people of Israel during the time of Isaiah. Remember, they were hearing God's word in a language they could understand, but how did they respond? They rejected it. They didn't like what they heard. They told the prophets, "Say to us what our itching ears want to hear." Sadly, some churches today have done just that. They have done away with careful and faithful teaching of God's word and have replaced it with feel-good entertainment, or worse yet, saying what makes people feel good rather than preaching what they need to hear and speaking God's truth in love to them. Whenever we're tempted by that worldly allurement, we need to ask God to forgive us, because then we're no better than the Old Testament nation of Israel. We need to ask God to deliver us from the temptation to ignore the clear teaching of His Word and replace it with what we want to hear. The good news is that God forgives us of this sin too. And then He shows us how we should embrace His gift of prophecy. And by that, He means the faithful praying, singing, preaching, and teaching of the truths of God's Word in a language that people understand, so that the Spirit can work repentance and faith and godly wisdom in our hearts. So in closing, God has given us many different spiritual gifts. And we're to use all of them, our talents and abilities, to build up others and serve them. But today, we especially learned about God's gift of prophecy. And once again, by prophecy, Paul means the faithful praying, singing, preaching, and teaching of His Word in a language that people understand. Now, such prophecy is a blessing for us for two reasons. First of all, it's a blessing for us to hear. Why is it a blessing for you to hear prophecy? Because through prophecy, God not only exposes your sin so you can repent of it, but even more, He points you to Jesus and He says to you, "Your sins are forgiven. Through my Son, you will live forever in my love." So trust in Him. Listen to His words. But not only is prophecy a blessing for us to hear, prophecy is also a blessing for us to proclaim. In other words, we all get to be God's witnesses. I'm here as your pastor to teach you and help you to grow in the knowledge of God's Word so that not only your own faith can be strong, but also that you might be able to leave this place and be an articulate witness for Jesus in the world. That's right. We get to share God's Word in a language that people understand, especially unbelievers, so that they may hear the Word of God and through that word, the Holy Spirit might lead them to repentance and faith in Christ for their salvation. So every time God moves you to come to this place, remember that you get to receive His gift of prophecy. The faithful preaching and teaching of His word in a language you understand that ultimately leads you to Jesus and His forgiveness and love and will for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.